Okay, good evening and welcome to tonight's session. Due to the fact that Johnny's asleep and Mark is low on energy, we're just going to do the Syrian collection, part two. But before we get down to that, let's answer some questions. Russ, do you have any questions?
No, I do not.
Kiri?
Well, your eyes are open, aren't they?
One eye.
One eye.
Monofocal.
No, I'm getting better anyway.
Of course I'm getting better. What you just now just said waking for Kiri.
Yeah, well, I thought you were tea, and I noticed your eyes are even more open than they normally are. Mm-hmm. I figured, well, tea's either gotten a lot better, it's Kiri.
And?
You must have gotten a lot better.
She has got a lot better.
Good.
Round of applause, huh?
Squirt.
Okay. Now, do you have any questions for me?
Let's see. Yes, I do. Last week, Omal said that the photon cloud affects certain areas of the abilities. It doesn't affect other areas of the abilities. Mm-hmm.
And then he said it affected PK, and then he said it didn't affect PK.
Right. He also then said, though, it didn't affect healing, but some people have learned to use photonic energy to heal. So.
That is more directing the flow, I think. You'd have to ask Kara about that. But I'd say that it's not increasing their ability, but directing the flow of the photons through somebody.
So could it be used for all the abilities?
I don't know. It's not my field.
Okay, so which is it, PK or not PK?
Kiri seems to think that PK is not affected. I haven't noticed any increase in my ability up here in the six, but we don't have it up here in the six.
The Pokemon Cloud?
For some reason, it isn't affecting us up here.
Is it a third dimensional phenomenon then? It does not transmute dimensions.
I don't know. I'd like to say, no, it's not, but Kiri's just shrugging her shoulders.
And you have accessed the photon cloud into your correlation with Future of Mankind, DEFCON 2, correct?
Yep, correct.
And what effect will this have on our coordination of the six-dimensional being? The third dimension, our ascension, let's say.
No effect whatsoever.
Well, then why does the third dimension suddenly, you know, with its DEFCON 2 going to DEFCON 1, take us to sixth dimension, if not for the aspect of the photon cloud and the more increased
stress. Oh, I thought you meant, is it an outside factor which has changed my calculations? No, it has not.
No, I knew that.
And it is taken into consideration. I really don't know how it's going to come out. Saying that it's going to come out one way or another, I can't say that.
I made these conjectures just now. I want to get your opinion on them.
Okay.
That being that the photon cloud, in conjunction with the stress put upon people with abilities and those without abilities, will help to bring about this change that we're looking at. I'm trying to find something that is beyond the stress that would cause the change.
Mm-hmm. It's, as I said, it's not really my field. It's not really my field. It's something that is a little bit out of my field.
Whose field would it be then?
You'll be talking more Kara or Mol and Corvon's field.
Okay.
Kiri might know some, but Kiri's got a whole stack of notes. And she's looking very serious.
Okay. So in the meantime, the photon cloud is merely an anomalous factor until we get more information.
Correct. You see, what I think they're letting me do is that they know how it will affect, but I have to come up with my own answers so that it's different from theirs.
So am I asking these questions to get you to think about those answers, correct?
Yes, but you're not asking the right sort of questions to really get my mind flowing.
Are we talking about the cascade factor?
No, nothing to do with the cascade factor at all.
Your mind doesn't cascade?
No, I keep it very controlled. I think it's something to do with my own text script. Okay, kettle's boiling.
You know something, though. It did affect your... I mean,
you wouldn't know if the... Well, okay, thank you. And thank you. Okay, I will... Well, one other thing I'd like to add is that if it was affecting some abilities, right, up here, I would have little individuals walking up to me and going, Mommy, why is my PK doing this? Why is my astral travel doing that? Why is my manifesting doing this? Why is my healing doing this? Why is my coercion doing this?
Didn't I just hear that Diana's not got her coercion coming on?
No, she's developing that. Which is good. Good for somebody that didn't have anything apart from the ability to focus energy and use energy and know how to use all the other abilities, but have none of their own. I think it's pretty good.
Well, that'll help her in her role.
Yeah, I wasn't going to call it that.
I know. Mm-hmm. But that's what you meant.
Now it's going to actually call the higher trigger gap.
That's a much better term.
She's the one that walks around and walks up to you, and the other two where I can get and go, ow! And you incinerate. Okay. I think it's time.
Okay.
Shall we put her on?
Okay.
Okay.
Just in love.
Okay, found the business. Yeah, dude. I don't know, I've never been there.
Yeah.
I've been there all the time, so what's all up? Right. Okay, let us get serious here.
Got it.
That's got runny nose. I think it's because it's been dry, and now with all the humidity, it's just unclogged everything.
That makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let us start with the Syrian Chronicles Part 2. Let us start with a preface. And let us start by calling the preface the House of Sarah. Although it's not the House of Sarah until the end. Let us step back in time to a time when a third dimensional planet was starting to undergo change. And the mass exodus is where happening from Sirius in the third dimension to other worlds. Numerous races were leaving and going to new planets and leaving because the planet was dying, basically. The sun was undergoing a metamorphosis, which was generating higher radiation. At the time, there weren't any genetic failings or noticeable conditions caused by the increase in radiation. This is something that would take a few more thousand years to become noticeable. But several great houses were moving away. And a great house had a splitting. Two members of the house argued with their parents and decided that the house should split. They moved to a new world. And they settled down. And they raised a family. But the planet that they settled on was a little unstable and itself starting to undergo a metamorphosis. their children decided it was time to move, but they couldn't decide which way to move. One son of three tanked and managed to get home to Sirius on a shuttle. The other two went off elsewhere. The records are not fully clear on that, but we have our conjectures. He arrived back on his home world. And after many years, noticing the changes, moved into a high area, away from the populations where all the trouble and strife was going on. His bond soulmate gave birth to a daughter. When the changes started, she was a young lady. And she had a great farm. And that was the house of Sarah. Now, after the ascension, this is where it starts with the Syrian Chronicles Part 2, as you would like to call them.
Actually, Part 3.
Why?
I've only got Part 1 on the webpage.
But this would be Part 2, then.
I haven't got the rest of the page transcribed yet. You told me not to.
Okay, we'll go with that. Okay, so this is the Syrian Chronicles, as you would call it, Part 3. And we shall title it The House That Sarah Built. The land had been settled, and the families had become great. A development in union and consciousness of working together transpired. Teamwork within houses and families that had been created after the arising became mighty and powerful. The mightiest of all, unfortunately, became the corruptest of all. The House of Sarah had moved high and became isolated due to the aura of Sarah. Sarah had not changed in her appearance or in her attitude, but her children collected around coveted the power of her being the first to walk. Her son had stayed the same also. He had developed fully and maturely and had become wise. Sarah stayed as she was. In later years, she became isolated, not knowing what was going on around. Now, the problems within the family occur. Sarah noticed these illnesses developing. Her son, often gone, seeking enlightenment, himself had become weak because of his quest for knowledge and understanding. Sarah one day called her family around. At this time, it was close to 15,000 strong. Her body had changed rapidly and suddenly. And from her bed, she spoke to them all and said, "It is now my time to depart. Take me home to where I first walked. And from there, take me on high." At this time, the entrance to the camp was still free to those of great power. She climbed up and went within and lay down. But before she did, she projected. An image of her head appeared above the Great Pyramid, and she stated, "When it is time, I shall return. Then union will be complete. I promise that this you." Then she sealed herself within. Many tried to go up to see her to see if she was still there. None could get in. Years passed, and her son came to visit from his trip, for he had not heard that his mother had sealed herself away within. He climbed up and walked with it, and there she was, old and shriveled, and had been waiting for him. He sat down and asked what was her problem. She said that she was old and tired, and the family had become corrupt and mighty. She said that this was an echo of the family that her... Sorry, it's my transcription here, not very clear. She said that she was worried that the family would become as those of the masters, referring to Tonar the corrupt and cruel. She said that she would come back and only a non-native adopted by the people would be able to come in. And that would be her line. Her son looked upon her with concern and worry. She closed her eyes for the last time and went into the sleep. He prayed that she would be reborn soon, and in his mind, she said that she would return to a non-native line. He called, and in his mind, he heard her voice stating to watch what was to come, to beware, and then she was gone. But it was not the voice from the awaiting, but the voice from the realm of around. Her son walked out into the light of day, and the moon had passed many phases. He walked and told the families that she had passed and was now asleep. He told them of her prophecy, but he kept the warning to himself. The question that we have asked ever since is, was he right or was he wrong to do so? The warning of the family that was now corrupted. Time passed and he passed into the land of awaiting. The family grew strong and mighty, but yet within it, echoes of the past started to appear. A young man arose, strong and mighty and powerful. He had three of the five, and he sought himself a maiden to bear his children. On the winter's day, and this is well documented, he was out hiking in the high country, looking for flowers to take home to his intended. Upon a rock, sun herself in all her morning glory, was a young maiden, no more than maybe 15 summers, but there she sat, sunning herself in all her glory. He walked up, and she was the image of Sarah. She was beautiful, intelligent, and somewhat unwashed. He walked up to her and asked her what was her name. She said her name was Teela. And Teela, in the language of the hills, means shy. But she was not. She sat upon the rocks and sunned herself, and he sat below and worshipped. He could not approach her. She was powerful and strong with coercion. He asked her many questions, and she answered very few. Finally, as the sun was setting, she asked him to come up and sit on the rocks next to him. He tried to climb, but he could not make the climb. He walked around, and he still could not get close. He wondered how she had got to sit on such a precarious place, and tried to puzzle how she climbed down. And he sat at the foot, and he said, "I will try again." And she goes, "Things are not as they seem to be." He climbed up and climbed and climbed and climbed, and then fell. And as he fell, he landed right next to her. Something very odd was going on here. She laughed and chuckled and said, "Tricks of the mind, the games to play." They sat and they talked, and the sun set, and she said she was cold and it was time to go home. She climbed down and he was stuck. She laughed and chuckled and said, "You got up there? You can get down the same way." With trepidation, he threw himself off the rock and stood up next to her. Odd things around this young lady, he thought. They walked up high and climbed higher and higher, and it started to snow, and it puzzled him how she did not seem to get cold. He thought, "It must be my ancestor. It has to be Sarah." They came to a house, if you could call it that, and it was dirty and unkempt in a very poor place. A lady came dressed in rags, followed by a man bent with only one arm and old and ancient. They invited in the Lord to share their meager meal. And the young lady just sat and laughed and chatted. They were proud of their only child. The days followed, and he came to see her bringing gifts, and she never accepted one. Her parents smiled sweetly and said that she was too young. Every day he came, he brought gifts of wealth and beauty, and she just looked at them and said they were nice, but she could not accept them. The days turned into months, the months turned into years, the years turned into decades. And she just smiled sweetly and said they all looked nice. He spent his fortune. The power of his house was drained away, and he became poor like her. One day they were out for a walk on the mountain path, high, high up. They came to a valley, and in it were beautiful flowers. She had never accepted any gift from him. She was now fully bloomed of womanhood, and strong and brave, and showing her full talents. She reached down and picked up a stone and threw it into the air, and it flew like the wind. He reached down, picked up a rare flower, and said, "Here, my love, for you." She smiled, and his heart said she would never accept. And she took the flower and stuck it in her hair, and they kissed the first time. They walked hand in hand through the land till they came upon this another valley, down low on a plain and a rocky outcrop overlooking the land. Trees all around and land beautiful, and she goes, "This is my home. This is where I belong." And he goes, "You are as beautiful as Sarah." And she chuckled and she said, "I am never Sarah. I may look like her, I've been told I look like her, but I would never be Sarah." They sat down and they decided to make a name. The name of the Highlands is their name. Their house was built strong and pure. Many children did they have. Eons passed, counting of time. One day, he returned. Long after his body had decayed, a new body of his for habitation. Young and strong, he met Sarah. Pure and beautiful. His Sarah, not the Sarah of the family line. poor country girl, barefoot, and beautiful. Where it ends, the history and the preface of The Line of Sara, and this little bit of the Syrian Chronicles, we'll take a quick tea break. As Rush rummages for the...
Actually, before that, so he died and came back and met the Sara.
No, met his Sara.
His Sara.
Yeah.
What was their name that they gave to the mountain?
The family name.
Which is?
From the highlights.
Which is Tanaka.
My, aren't we smart? Yeah, when we were at our most powerless, yeah, the family Tanaka, this was before it became the family Tanaka, right, when it was the Line of Sara.
Right.
It was really powerful. We controlled, or the family controlled, about 40% of the whole entire planet and people and populace.
This is just dimensional service.
Yes. Right. You're talking, controlling 40% of your planet in comparison.
Right.
Total control. If the head of the family said that this 40% would be wiped out, that there would be no more of this 40%, then that was her power. The fact that Sarah would never do that, but her children were the ones doing all the infighting. Yeah. They knew she was old. They knew that she was getting ready to leave. And she had many children. She had, I should say, about 60, 70 children. Both male and female. And then think about their grandchildren. And there was a fair bit of incest going on in the family as well.
But now, where is the line of Tanaka in the ruling line of Sirius now? Is there such thing as equality between all the lines?
Yeah.
Or are some lines greater than?
Some lines are greater than the others, but the rule is that there is equality. But
that's
not always the case. A mighty house, right, will be elected by the other houses to be president for the lifetime of the individual, or as long as the individual wants it. Our family has been elected many times since Tanaka has been around, since Dan's been on the hot seat, as he calls it, many times. Every time he goes, no. In fact, there's another election coming up in like 3 years. Something that Miranda taught him long ago, that being a mighty, powerful individual and a powerful life, you've got to remember she was a simple country girl and she's always been in all of her lives. Except this last one, this current one. But she's always liked the simple things.
At the same time.
She's always been horny as well, but that's besides the point.
Doesn't the story of your dad meeting Miranda bear a striking resemblance to this young gentleman and his Sara?
Mm-hmm. I think they've actually out many, many times over the years. I think it's very romantic. But the interesting thing
we're
is...
just romantic at heart.
Yeah, but the rock that oversticks into the valley. Kind of. You know what sits on that now? Mm-hmm. That's because they consummated their relationship. It's a strong fortress as well. It's caves and cellars. You'd have to go there one day and just see the horrors. But if you go into the main hall, right, you remember as you come in the main hall, right, you've got that corner that's very dark and dingy, plants and stuff all around. Yeah. But if you go further on there, right, it becomes jagged like a grotto. The fact that you haven't noticed that you've gone down an angle like that for about maybe 300 or 400 feet is besides the point. You're actually underneath and behind the house. In fact, if you were to go directly up, you know the outdoor swimming pool? There's an outdoor swimming pool. You know you'd be directly underneath the outdoor swimming pool.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. That's the rock that moves there?
long stairway, right, that leads up to the front hall. Yeah, and then you go into the great hall. That rock is hidden by the brickwork there and the stairs. I've always wanted to take the brickwork away and the stairs and just have a kind of escalator type thing. I just want it to be, I just want to see the rock in the light instead of being hidden. It'd be nice. Supposedly, I've never seen it. But, yeah, it's got veins of quartz and crystals. In fact, there's supposedly lots of crystals throughout it in the grotto. If you go all the way to the back of the grotto, there's lots of amethyst and quartz crystals. There's a crystal there that's about, what's that? Oh, about yay big. Beautiful crystal. Okay. Yes. Again, and this time, look at it properly instead of, oh, it's a nice big house.
Like,
you know, your dad doesn't want to solve these traps. He's, you know, like, no, it doesn't. So, like,
I'm not, like, going,
like,
whoa, awesome, man.
Yeah,
I'm going, hey,
what's
happening
to
you? All right.
Wait, you've seen him. He wanders around in that robe. It's not exactly the best
quality, is it? I
don't see this imagination. Yeah. But his robes that he wears, I mean, they're not exactly the finest satins, the finest silks. I think that's a gift from, that he likes the simpler things in life. They get on okay. Well, Miranda kind of, I think, gave a slight cold shoulder. Well, she's little at the moment. I mean, come off it. I mean, she's barely out of diapers, right?
Yes, but I thought I trained her better than that.
Well, at the moment, she's got the typical six-dimensional child of, I've got to be the center of attention. Yeah. A little bit like...
Well, yeah, but Kevin's probably going to be a
mother. You think so? You wait. You
he
don't...
So.
Yes, he thinks so, but you don't know.
She's his kid's sister.
They haven't developed the full connection with their past lives.
Yeah.
Unlike...
Not until they hit 50, right?
No, 21. Unlike Leonides, who's fully operational, fully functional, has full access, knows exactly what's going on. Fortunately, he knows when to shut up.
Yeah, right. Mom! Quiet!
No, when it comes to past life and spilling the beans, I mean, he knows that if he tells Miranda what he knows about her past lives, he's just either going to burst out crying or just find it absolutely funny. Anyway, back to part three of the Syrian Chronicles. Okay, let us step back and answer questions that you have.
Okay. Now with the, let's see, so he died, and she died.
Yes.
And when they both died, then they came back as material beings, or immaterial beings.
For a time.
And dwelt together at a time as immaterial beings.
Yeah.
They used to be work.
Are we talking about Sarah or the staff of our family? Okay.
And what was his name?
Well, he took the name Tanaka. That's the only thing that is recorded in the record. The house Tanaka.
So the young man rose.
Never
really had a name to rose to. Like.
But the thing is that him showering gifts upon her was part of his learning experience. Each gift that he gave was more expensive.
Why did he give him back? Sell him back. Money back.
I think it was a stigma thing. And
so what happened over here?
They're probably stashed somewhere. He probably stashed them somewhere in a big treasure pile somewhere. Big dragon's hoard somewhere.
No, never really poor.
And then he had no use for them after. They were gifts that he could never give. That's the logic behind it. They were gifts that he could never give back because each gift was a gift of love. But the gift of love itself was the fact that before she agreed to bonding, they had to be equals on her terms.
I mean, it makes a great story and everything, but I mean, what did they live on out there? Fruits and berries?
Fruits, berries, deer.
I mean, they lived
for, fruits, berries,
they lived for 300 years, you know?
Nah, they were living close to 1,000.
Why don't we live that way now?
Why don't we live that way now? Because of their struggle. They built the house. They had about 15, 20 children before their first reach.
But where'd they feed them all? They were broke. They had nothing but flowers out there. And their mom and dad, they had nothing either.
They were lower down in the valley where it was more abundant. There was plenty of pasture land to have cattle to grow, milk.
And so they became a farmer or something.
Basically, yeah. It was his property anyway.
It was.
Yeah.
I never mentioned that part.
Oh, didn't I? No. But so all his property anyway, don't forget.
Well, she said it was her home.
Yeah, they lived on the property.
But he never, how did he get property before she knew it was her home?
It's like he was the landlord.
He was like wandering his land.
Yeah, basically. Yeah, sitting upon the rock.
And they were kind of like squatters on his land kind of thing?
No. They just leased the land from him.
Oh, you didn't know him?
Well, think about it. You've got, yeah, approximately 1 million square of your acres, right? Are you going to know everybody that lives on there?
That's right.
Well, think about it. Are you going to know, yeah, maybe 20 or 30,000 individuals?
Well, I mean, you said the guy was hunting, right?
That was that wolf.
Walking better.
Yeah, she was sitting upon a rock, sunning herself in all her glory.
Nude.
Yeah, basically.
So they went back to her mom and dad's house
nude.
But and they had dinner that night while she was nude.
Yeah.
Does the mom and dad have a problem with some guy in the house with their daughter nude?
No.
Okay. I don't know, I was getting used to this old Syrian customs. I'm, you know, of course, a little strange down here. You can, of course, see that. Be like, get your clothes on! What are you doing? You know.
Are we thinking a little third dimensionally?
I mean, did she go around nude all the time? I mean,
she want to wear? I don't know, but the records aren't that clear. The fact that she was totally naked.
I don't know. I just go, does she own any clothes?
Probably, yes. I mean, you've seen me walking around in the bath.
Yeah, but not all the time.
No, you've seen me walking down the back through the base
of my patches. Maybe she had like a toga sitting there by the rock or something she got into after she got down off the rock.
No, she was... The records
are clear that she was nude for dinner.
She was nude the whole entire evening.
The whole entire evening.
Day and evening.
Not any time after that.
Well, that's not recorded. But there are paintings of her in clothing.
Well, you wonder... There's no wonder why they had so many kids, is there?
There was a lot of love between them. And there was a lot of love.
I mean, I'd be there every day, too. I mean, the new chick all hanging around everything. I'd be there day and night for years, decades, heck yeah.
You're thinking third dimensionally, dear.
With a lovely thought.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, that's all the questions I have. Great questions.
Was she nude? Yes. And yes, so you've seen her nude.
Yes, Kara.
Yes.
I'd be there every bloody day, man. Excuse me, is your daughter home? Hi! I'm back! Hey, look at this!
I brought your dress.
Yeah, right. I don't want it. Okay, no problem.
No, she never said that she didn't want it. She just said I can't accept.
Yeah, like I bring her a dress every day.
The moral of the story is that she had to be of an equal.
I understand that. Holy story.
She had to be equal before she could bond with it.
Well, how many bullets did she have? He said she, he had 3 out of 5. His records state how many she had?
Yeah, she only had 2.
She had 2. Yeah. Coercion and
healing.
Healing. How'd she get off the rock and make this thing do what they did with it?
Think about it. It's all in the mind. He thought.
That was part of the coercion.
Yes. He thought.
Well, aren't we talking? I mean, you can't do that, can you?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That makes your mind think is one thing.
What was his gift?
He was Manifestor, PK loaded, and he was a
projector?
Yeah, so but not loaded. Huh? That's so, the full 5. That's where the potential starts.
So how many of the children were competent in all 5?
None.
Ever?
Ever.
Ever. To this day.
This day. To this point.
What about Leonidas?
Leonidas is the first.
Now what does this bode for the future then?
I don't know. What does it bode?
Well, I'd say it bodes well. I mean, now all of a sudden you've got your first 5-fold ability being in the house of Tanaka. That should mean that it took this long for all the generations to finally mix, and one of them have to go all the way to Earth, be on third dimension, come back up, and impregnate one of the house of Tanaka's line. Mm-hmm. So, they're both from the house of Tanaka. They both hook up. They have...
No. They're not both from the house of Tanaka. The house of Tanaka, when the mass migration started, did not exist. The line that became the House of Tara existed.
Well, Tanaka was our father of Naxus, yes, and Naxus.
Correct.
But he was not of the House of Tanaka.
That's
because
correct.
There was no House of Tanaka.
That's correct. That's what we said all
but
along.
He was in the line of Sara.
No. The line of Sara came later. From that line. See, the way it's a tree, right? You have a branch, or you have the trunk, right? You have the trunk.
Yeah.
Right? It grows up straight.
Right.
This is the line that is before the house of Sara. This is the line of Sara, right? Notice so you have parts of the line going on here, right? Okay. This is the line of Sara. Now, this new branch here breaking off is the house of Tanaka. Then the house of Sara ended, I think it was like 4 or 5 generations later. It tore itself to pieces and it broke up. But the line that stayed the purest was the line of Tanaka.
Got it.
This was close to 1,000 years after the death of Sara.
But this is the breakup of the migration happened with the House of Tonar.
Correct. That was before the House of Tonar, the Corral, right? There was mass migrations.
Right. And that was from the children of the daughters of Tonar.
Correct.
Who was the parents of...
No.
Well, the ancestors of...
No.
The daughters of Tonar.
Were the religious order that worshipped Tonar the Corrupt. They were slain by the tribe... I can't remember the full name of the tribe now.
Of the tribe of...
Like truth,
justice, something like that.
Yeah.
Right.
Who
okay,
became the 144,000 that sequestered themselves
right.
within the rock.
Okay. Now, that tribe is the ancestors of Tanaka, who was Naxus' dad.
Now, this all occurred after the exodus of the planet, when people were going off to